welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's another wonderful day to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. The Lord our God loves us, and He cares about us. He's always thinking of those who reach out to Him in their by faith. The last broadcast we shared how, as you focus on the Lord and are receptive to His wisdom, you grow, you are tuned up to learn. But if anything changes your focus, it also can hinder the way you learn, the way you see things, the way you judge things. As we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it doesn't matter what problem presents itself. It doesn't matter what we're challenged with. Because in our hearts, we see the greater one. We see the Lord. And we share in His love. We love others the same way He loves us. Jesus once said, when people take you to the courts and magistrates, don't answer, but only answer by the Holy Spirit. He said, in that hour, it'll be given to you what to say. When you're looking to the Lord, even under pressure, under evil circumstances, if you look, as you look to Him, you'll know what to say. And you'll know what to do. And it'll be given you what to say. And you'll learn from it. You'll see it just as plain as day. And I thank the Lord for that. Because He loves us and He's got us. As if we're looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, the next step will be obvious. But when we look at the people, you know, fear looks to man. Looking at the people, everybody who looked to the crowd, they got in fear. King Saul didn't obey God because he looked at his men. He looked at the people. He looked at the army. They wanted to bring the best livestock back to sacrifice. And he was not fully persuaded with the words and instruction of the prophet. He did no different than Achan. Achan kept some of the treasure, and it became a snare to Israel. And and Phinehas is the one. You know, he threw a spear to the woman. Another snare was done. A man took a Moabitish woman, and he threw a spear and killed both of them, and a plague was stayed. See, obedience looks to God. Phinehas had zeal to the Lord, and he stayed a plague by killing the problem, the root cause of the problem. God loves His people, and He knows what He's doing. We're in a position where if we trust His counsel, we win like He does. We see darkness for what it is when we love like He does. And the fear of the Lord helps us to be wise like He is. Because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Him, it heightens our course. We walk according to heaven. And we do things in much greater ways. We see like He does. The Word of God is our example. It gives us the wisdom we need. And as we go forward in the Lord, we see things in greater ways. All these things that the Lord's got me saying, it becomes certain to you. It registers. It makes the difference that we need. On the other hand, the enemy has nothing. All he has is death and deception. Now I'm going to share with you how deception works. There has to be an absence of light. Before he can begin his deception, he has to have an absence of light. When people can plainly see the better way, they have to make a decision. Everything about God, everything, alerts you to the fact that you have to make a decision. Remember, the kingdom of God doesn't work like the world. The Lord will present you with his ways. He will show you the best choice, and then you have to choose it of your own free will or reject it. Everything about God is that way. And people don't know that. Now, the world is different. The world is seductive. It will brainwash you. It will try to get you to not believe in what the heart of life is. It will try to get you to live in opposition to love and do the things that are no good. It'll try to get you to trespass, to win, to take what you want and not give. The world doesn't seek to be a blessing to anybody because the head of the world doesn't seek to be a blessing to anybody. Everything is done off pride. In the world, people do what they should do for pride reasons. The kingdom of God, we do what we do for love reasons. You know, a man that goes to school to be a doctor, you know, to save lives and be a blessing to mankind, that's one way, that's one motive. But some people go to school to be a doctor to gain prestige and honor and respect and make much money. The motives make the difference. The one that wants to serve mankind and be a blessing, he's more apt to love family. Now watch, people that love family, they're more apt to love God. They have a stake and an invested interest in society. But people that want to use others, they have no vested interest in society. But with God, you have to choose to be his, to be like him. The Lord made a way for us to choose righteousness when it was impossible for us to choose righteousness. We could not, even if we wanted to do right, we couldn't be righteous. Because there was nothing on in the world system that would help us become righteous after we fallen in sin. There was nothing a man could do to undo the fact that he was in sin. So God became a man and died for us that we could destroy our sins. Jesus destroyed our sins and he enabled us to walk right out of the trap of sin. So now that we've been set free, I'm not going to walk back into it. Now the world is infectious. If you're around something dirty, you're going to start smelling like what's dirty. But if you're around something clean, you're not going to become clean. But if you're around something dirty, you can become dirty. The persuasion of the world is dirty. So we have to receive enough of God's word in our hearts to withstand the pressures of this world. It's just like the analogy my pastor gave. A balloon has to have more pressure inside than what's on the outside. Because the pressure on the outside causes it to collapse when there's not enough pressure on the inside. And they look soggy. So it is with people who don't fill their hearts with the word of God. Even righteous people. people that's been made righteous. They've been made righteous, but if they don't, when we don't fill our hearts with the word of God, we look soggy, weak, insufficient. Though the grace of God is sufficient, and the word of God is sufficient, but we have to receive it on purpose. It has to be our will to do this. But your will can be altered by the pressures of this world if the things of this world becomes your focus. If you desire something out there in left field, the enemy will use it like leaven to enter your life and grow. And it will hinder you from choosing what is best for you. See, when the enemy was tempting me, and he was using women to come after me, I didn't go after them. There are weaknesses in the average person anyway. And all he was doing was pulling their strings. Women didn't act like that till I got saved, and then in a multiplied way, they acted like that when I got called to the ministry. But I kept resisting it. And as I resisted it, I was able to continue to learn God's word. And I'm gonna show you something that happens. Take it serious. Anything that's distracting you and tempting you, any kind of satanic alternative, they all work the same way. Even if it's fear, something you don't want, if you don't deal with it biblically, it will hinder you from growing and gaining enough strength and pressure on the inside to overcome it. So I knew that if I gave in, it could become the end of me. The way you study, the way you just hunger after righteousness, it changes when you love the world. I'm going to say it again. The things that entice you, the things you look at other than God, when you get trapped by it, it changes the way you seek God. It changes the way you learn and grow. It changes your appetite. It can change your destiny if it's not stopped. That's why the Lord anoints people. He anoints people to do His will, and the anointing that God has given breaks yokes. It breaks the bonds of sin, and it helps people to see what God is seeing. It helps them to realize the word of God, the revelation of it, and they desire it, and then they walk out of the world. That's what the devil's afraid of. See, if your appetite is altered, if you desire things that will hinder you and be a weight to you, and you're not getting the word of God like you need to, those things choke the word, and then you become unfruitful. It causes you to grow weaker and weaker. So you have to be like the cowboy. You got to get mad. You know, the best gunfighters, they got mad first. They wanted revenge. They wanted something. They were not afraid to fire that weapon. And when it comes to the enemy, you got to get mad. You can't be passive and win against Satan. You can't. Those that love the world, they don't fight right. When a man starts loving the world, his convictions start leaving. And he fights like a loser. But those who are strong in faith, that love the Lord, they are fiery. They'll pull the trigger. They will fight back. They will take back what the devil stole, like David did. David had some fight in him because he had the love of God in him. The most dangerous soldiers are the ones that have the love of God in them. Fearful soldiers are bad enough. They're motivated. But a passive soldier, he'll get everybody killed. Being stupid. Stepping on leaves, smoking cigarettes at night. Being careless. He's not alert. And the enemy will take him out. Now, I'm going to say this too. This is also a factor. I just saw it. When people start becoming passive in their walk, but they have a reputation of being strong, people look to them. So some ministers, when they weaken, the enemy, he withdraws himself in places so that they'll stay there. In other words, he won't pressurize the ministry. He's pulling them to love something in the world until they weaken. But he doesn't put pressure on the ministry. He might even step back so people will put more money in church. Did you know it's a fight? People have to win battles to put money in church sometimes. Only the dedicated, the most dedicated people pay tithes and give offerings. They are strong in the Lord. And a lot of people don't have the strength to pay tithes and offerings. Especially converts. Some converts have the strength. And some of them are not skilled yet. So they'll pay tithes like a baby would. If they feel good, they pay them. If they feel bad, they don't. So the enemy will withdraw his attack against things like that in a lukewarm church. And they might even become rich. But the pastor's, and he's getting weaker and nobody realizes. And then when he falls, he takes a lot of people out with him. And if he stays in a lukewarm condition too long, his fruit will change. The enemy can infiltrate a whole ministry at a pace where nobody will notice him if the people are not watching and praying. And if you decide you're going to watch and pray and do the things of God, don't do it in fear. Do it because you love God and his people. This is just something we do all the time. And as you do so, the enemies, watch where he comes from. He still pull people's strings to get them to do the wrong thing. And he'll still try to work against the ministry and the things of God. And he still will use the weakest link. But see, the light of God's word is what makes the difference. Those who walk in light, they expose the darkness of this world for the negativity that it is. And they take back what's stolen. They destroy the works of darkness because they do it the right way. Their eyes are on Jesus, and their love grows stronger and stronger. In their heart, they're growing in their heart. They're changing and doing better and better. But those that love the world, appearance is important. The way they look and seem, and the fame and the fortune, everything's got. They look at how things look. But those who know their God, they would do the exploits. Only those who seek the Lord to know Him, they are the ones who would do the greater works and destroy the works of darkness. The word of God always instructs us to be vigilant. To be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the things of God, in the word of the Lord. And that's what we should do. We have to live with our eyes open. light is required. If we want to win our loved ones, we have to increase the light that we live. We have to operate according to God's love without compromise. The enemy is trying to stop coal, the harvest works. See, there are many harvest works that the Lord is doing. This is one of them. A harvest works prepares people to win the loss, and then it enables a common man to become a laborer. And we do whatever's necessary to get people saved. Our lives, our jobs, our careers, even our family. Because of the need, all these wonderful things that God has graced us with are tools, even our finances. They are tools to win the lost. Now, a soldier that's not vigilant, don't expect him to fight. He's haphazard. God don't need people with a reputation to do his will. He needs people that love him to do his will. See, the lukewarm church, they have no passion for anything. They love their own pleasure. They made a God out of other things. Their lust, they look at it more than they look at God. They go out of their way to get the entertainment thereafter. And then they excuse it. And then they, you know, they say God, you know, they act like God condones it. They've left the kingdom of God and entered the kingdom of the world and kept the reputation of being the people of God. The thing about God is he's foundational and he's the God of truth. We follow the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We love him. We love his works. We do what he does. And we do it because we choose to. We love him because he loved us first. We receive the light of his word and we love it. And we follow him. And nothing, we don't let anything stop us. We govern our lives to do his will. We're not trying to find excuses anymore. As we follow his footsteps, the challenges get smaller and the Lord becomes greater in our eyes, in the eyes of our spirit. And when we see other men that we shatter under the same challenges, we laugh at those challenges in their sight. And then they desire to have the courage we enjoy. The only way they can have it is to look unto Jesus. They can be inspired by us, and they're tempted by the enemy to look to us only. So we have to point them in the direction of Jesus. If we see the operation of the anointing is so wonderful. It's something that people have never seen, and people will humble themselves to bless you. But you have to point them to Jesus. They got to learn to see Jesus. And not the miracles, but the one who performed the miracles for them. If they're going to love God like he loves us. We have to make that. Everybody has to transition. You can't just look at your pastor or the people that have blessed you in the past. Thank God for them. They did their job. Now we got to look unto Jesus to carry on. Now the time is coming, which we're entering days, the days of the tribulation period. The days of grace are almost gone, folks. Any day now the Lord can return. Now I'm going to work like he's coming. I'm going to continue to plan and do the things of God as if he's coming 100 years from now. I have a retirement. I'm working every day. But I believe he may come back any moment. But he said, occupy till I come. Every day I can't wait to do these broadcasts. It's important. But I'm doing it. Everything I do at God's instruction. Out of all the things he could have had me doing, this is what he gave me to do. Now, we're about to enter the days of the tribulation. And I'm going to read some scriptures in Daniel that concern the days of the tribulation. Now, in Daniel chapter 11, you can read about the king of the north and the king of the south. And God is going to give more and more people revelation about these scriptures because Daniel sealed them. God told him to seal these things. And you can't figure it out until the Lord reveals it. So you can try to figure it out. It's even honorable if you try to figure it out. But you're not going to figure it out until the Lord reveals it. So keep trying to figure it out. Now, there are some scriptures I want to get to in this. For time's sake, I'm going to start at verse 15. Read the whole chapter to get the whole, to see what it's saying. Now, God told Daniel about the rise and fall of all the nations, and now he's dealing with the parts of the tribulation. Okay, verse 15. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities and the arms of the south. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that comes against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. That's why I believe that's the tribulation period. That hadn't quite happened yet. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. Now, you know, David Jeremiah said this is Cleopatra. Now, if that's the case, this was done in the days of grace, not the tribulation yet. But we're going to get to the part where the king of the north is the Antichrist in the days of the tribulation. Okay, so verse 18. After this shall he turn his face into the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days shall he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall rise up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now we get into the Antichrist, I believe. Verse 22. And with the arms of the flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they shall feed upon the portion of his meat. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits, and shall return to his own land. And at the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. Watch this. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved, and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. Now, the ships of Chittim was also prophesied by the prophet Balaam before he went rogue. Anyway, he shall be grieved and shall return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And the arms shall stand on his part. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But watch this. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. They shall fall by the sword and by famine and captivity and by spoil many days. Now, all this is around the corner. There are people that will stand no matter what happens. They don't compromise to save their life. They don't compromise to save their money. They don't compromise to save their lust and their habits. They do what's right because they love God, because loving God is right. And they are the ones that know their God, and they shall be strong. They will not be weak. They will not be cowardly. They will put Satan in his place, and they will do exploits even in these evil days. And two of them are the true prophets, the two witnesses. They're going to speak and control the weather by their speech. The 144,000 Jews, they will do exploits. They will win the loss. Now, we're out of time. We're going to continue next time. Till next time, remember, God, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is.